Welcome back. Glad to have you on board. We're going to talk again tonight, before we bring our special guest on, Nurse Anne, about this issue of prions. Now, we've covered it very thoroughly. It's manifesting itself in many ways. Some people say, oh, brain fog, short-term memory loss. You've heard it all. We've all heard it all. But this is an issue that is proliferating, and it's getting worse. And we have a sense that prions may be, like in baseball, the cleanup hitter to clear the bases. If your major organs aren't destroyed, if your immune system loss isn't enough, if the destruction of your heart isn't enough, it looks like there's a chance that they built prion infestation via the spike as the final act in the play of genocide. It looks like it's spreading. We know it can be transmitted to people without having been injected. It's called shedding. Same old story. There are just a lot of developments on the CJD front. Nurse Anne's going to talk about that a little later in just a few minutes, what she's seen in the hospital, what she knows about, and how common this is now. We think she's going to tell us that it's becoming very common, and I wouldn't be surprised. We'll find that out in just a few. You there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff.
What have you been doing?
Another week.
Just kicking back?
Oh, that's good. It was a busy day, so I'm a little frazzled.
Yes, I understand. You pulled yourself together magnificently, though. You sound great. Okay. Let's just jump in on this. I know some of you were with us when we did this before about people literally brain impairment, cognitive breakdowns, degeneration of the mind. They're losing it. You can't go out for a walk around your block and forget where your house is. That kind of thing is happening. Now, these people with their impaired brains, and we think it's probably prion related, are driving, they're carrying on life, they're working, but they're in real trouble. And it's not getting better. And you can't take a pill for this stuff. It's not that easy. I wish it was. Okay, we've got a couple of things here I'd like to reread. And some of you may recall it, but there's a whole left side here. How do we want to break this down? It's a long left side, and there's a right side at the top.
I think it goes from left... Go read the left column first, and then go over to the right column.
And then drop down to the bottom.
Right.
All of that. Okay. All right. I don't think we read the whole bottom end before, so. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead and start on the left column, and see how we do on the right. Go ahead and finish that too, and we'll go on down from there. Go ahead.
All right. Just to be clear, though, this thread is in a COVID long haulers group, and it's a very, very big group, as you can imagine. And I selected for threads that I knew these people had COVID initially before the vax was rolled out. And I don't think there's enough appreciation out there for what this virus, how bad this virus can be for some people.
Oh, you're right.
And it can really leave a lasting mark on somebody. And there are people now that had the virus in 2019, 2020, that did get stuck in that long-haul syndrome, were not able to overcome it, and are probably, you know, on their last legs. They're
right.
Suffering from muscle wasting or various types of organ failure. So for as bad as the vax is, you know, the virus can be equally as devastating. And so here are some comments of people suffering the effects of having had the viral infection for a few years.
Say long COVID, just to fill the record out, we can also refer to long vax, because those are vax injuries too. And
well, it's all under that umbrella now, but it's
correct.
Unfortunate because you know, it isn't just the vaccine. You have to understand that there was a weapon that was released on us, and it is still here.
It's still out there. Oh yeah,
yes. and
it's
will
probably
do it again.
Worse. than it
was. If they're not,
yes.
you know, held accountable for it.
Correct. Yeah. All right. Go to it.
All right. This man asks, how about the memory loss? Feels legitimately like dementia. First comment, absolutely. I forgot how to do a job I have been doing for years. I also can no longer multitask. One thing at a time. If distracted, I forget. Someone else adds, I can only do one thing at a time, and if someone talks to me while I'm doing something, I get frustrated. We are women. Multitasking is what we do. This is so frustrating. And second person replies to that, it is frustrating. I am a director of child care centers with over 200 children and 30 staff. This job is all about multitasking. I have improved, but not anywhere near what I was like before COVID. I feel it aged me 10 years. And the other one says, I believe it does too, but more like 20 years, and I hope you get better. To admit to the nursing home, this is the person that doesn't write very well.
Mm-hmm.
Admit to the nursing home and brain injury place my brother is at, had long COVID, and she's not there anymore. She kept getting sick, so I am assuming she has long COVID.
Good job. You did well. I couldn't have read that if I had to, but you did well. Right.
It's cryptic.
It is. Okay, go ahead with the right side.
I've got one underneath it. Pamela, do you
okay.
see that one?
Yeah.
All right. Another person adds, yes, 2021 neuropsych showed slow executive function, memory issues, etc. I couldn't remember if I used the bathroom, ate, how to cut veggies, etc. I couldn't drive because I'd get lost going home. I couldn't even remember what town I was in. I'm sure others can relate. Now, 2024, it's less short-term issues and more long-term issues. Most memories of the last 10 years are gone. I'm divorced, remarried for nearly 10 years. Sometimes I look for my ex and I cry because I have no idea why we are divorced. And then there's this new guy telling me he's my husband, yet I have no emotional connection to him. Luckily, this is transient and seems to be connected to my new post-COVID migraine pattern, so the next day I'll be good again. It's weird, but it's real. Good news, though, the brain fog is getting better. That helps.
Here, let me stop that. This is really important. This is emblematic of what apparently is a growing, if surging is another word, condition that people are discussing, that they're being troubled by. I mean, this is incredible. I couldn't remember if I used the bathroom or if I ate. I couldn't remember how to cut up vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't drive because I'd get lost going home. I couldn't even remember what town I was in. I'm sure others can relate. And she says now it's 2024. And she talks about most memories of the last 10 years are gone. Now, this is hippocampus damage, we think. That's autobiographical memories. They're gone. Her life is basically gone. I'm divorced, remarried for nearly 10 years. And sometime I look for my ex and start to cry because I have no idea why we were divorced. And then there's this new guy telling me he's my husband. Yet I have no emotional connection to him at all. I see these things and it's like out of a movie. But this is happening. That's why we're spending time on this. Okay. I don't know how far you want to go down here with this, but you're going to go down the entire left side. I get it now. Okay. Go ahead, finish Shoemaker, and then I'll
okay.
jump in.
Someone says to her, I wonder if this is happening to others and if that's what's going to happen to me. I'm so sorry. It has to be scary. And she replies, I hope it doesn't happen to you. Where'd it go? I'm hoping that for me, it is more related to my PTSD, rebooted my neuronet, as I joke that I'm done Android-like data from Star Trek. COVID caused all my triggers from the past trauma that I'd already dealt with and managed, so I had to work through them again. In case, though, I'm letting people know so that they are not alone. I'm also hoping memory loss is not forever, but I worry. There's
okay.
only so much the brain and spirit can handle.
All true. Now, these people are not uncommon. This is a common problem. Cognitive failure. They're not functioning right. And these people are out driving. Now, my friend, tell us what you encountered on the road the last time you were out. Twice.
Yeah, so one day last week I was out. Now, on that particular occasion, it was after dark, and got behind somebody that was clearly having trouble. It appeared to be lost, disoriented. You know, so it wasn't long before there was a long line of traffic behind this person, and then today, now this was during daylight, same thing. Somebody's, you know, going well under the speed limit, and just appearing to be very lost and erratic driving. And I wouldn't quite say it was like a drunk driver, but, you know, they'd kind of surge a little bit. And that, sometimes that can be somebody texting, but it wasn't, it didn't feel like somebody texting. It wasn't repetitive enough that, you know, they'd be looking down. And
very dangerous. Slow and go. Slow and go.
But, yeah, definitely impaired. There's no question.
Right.
And then I was in a bank today, and you know, the customer in front of me was an older gentleman, not that old. I mean, he had driven himself to the bank, and he was having a heck of a time communicating with the teller. He just couldn't make his needs clear, and she had to talk very slowly to him. You ask him, you know, how many months of bank statements do you want?
Yeah.
So I think this is happening more and more.
It is.
Unfortunately,
I think it's really systemic now with our culture. I was in a store the other day, and somebody was, the cash registers now tell people, the teller, the clerk in the bank, the teller, the clerk in the grocery store, how much change you're supposed to give somebody. All they have to do is look at the screen and count that money out and give it to somebody. They don't have to make change in their heads anymore. The cash register tells them what to refund somebody, predicated on what they're given for payment. This person could not actually count out the cash that she was instructed to by the cash register. She was having
That's
trouble coming up with $16, three fives and a one. And it was...
Well, if they had... Anyway. Was it a young person? Because they prefer not to deal with cash.
No, reasonably. I'd say 25, 30, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to these readers here. oh, my God, it's the same person. Oh, my God, I have COVID PTSD, and it's done the same to me. I didn't even have emotions for 5 months, not even facial. My husband said I totally forgot all the work I did to heal, and I had to start over. When I center pray, I don't know. I think her text here is reflecting her lack of cognitive competence. When I center pray, I don't know what that is. I can't get to my head either. And it hurts. But at first, it was like sparks and lightning going off. Back in the beginning of this last month, I went to the hospital because of COPD going to my heart. I have had that now, too. But my right leg gave out, and when I got there, I fell out. I fell out.
It fell out. Couldn't move,
but was aware of my surroundings. The guy that gave me the EKG left my shirt up over my head the whole time. When I got back to the room, they checked me for stroke and brain bleed. Reading my test, the only thing that makes sense is a rare type of Alzheimer's called PCA. I'm going to ask my doctor in February, and I know someone my age that's had COVID like 5 times and now has early onset Alzheimer's. She started off driving and not remembering where she was. How many of us have done that? See, it's common. It's talked about. My husband has too, and won't really admit it. He has long COVID, but he does just not as bad as me. He asked me last night when I told him she has that now.
I know.
He asked me last night when I told him she has that now. He said, what happens if both have that? I think
what he means, or she means, what happens if we both have it?
Both of them. They're both incapacitated. Yeah, I'm sure. I said, I guess the people's kids have to handle that when it comes up with the totally, with he totally scared me because I'm not working my kids to tell me what to do. They already try, but I get totally what you're saying about the PTSD, and because of this, I think I'm getting some more because this stuff freaking me out. It's like a scary movie. Okay. All right. I think, honestly, either this person has been like this for her whole life or most of her life, or it's
new. There's no punctuation.
No, that's gone.
Punctuation, so you,
no,
you have no idea where the sentence starts or ends.
No. All right, response to that. That emotion thing, Halen, H-A-L-E-N.
Happens.
See, but I was making a point here. That emotion thing, Halen, to me too. Halen. Now, not just H-A-L-E-N, but capital H-A-L-E-N instead of happens. All right. That's not autofill either. Like understanding faces, it got so bad I had to close my eyes and ask him to speak slow, then I might understand. That empty emotions thing is still an issue, but it is still bad now. I can handle it. It's still bad, but now I can handle eye contact again. With these posts, they don't often make sense because I forget what I write after it scrolls up. Then I forget who I responded to. That's how hard communication is now. And there's a response to that. It's real. We have a real brain injury, like traumatic brain injury. Difficult to cope with, for sure. I have hope because I am relearning and having improvements. That gives her hope, I guess. But it's really, really slow. Like I don't even see progress month to month. But over 4 to 6 months period, there is improvement. I found reading a little every day and playing word games has helped. All right. Jumping up to the top, I'll do part of this group. And then we'll bring Ann on here. Almost borderline Alzheimer's, writes another person, like I am to the point of wanting to be tested as it runs in my family. Man, it is horrible. Getting lost in your own neighborhood is scary. Forget short-term memory. It's almost non-existent. Telling people to be patient due to long COVID brain fog is not really understood by many. I too get lost in my neighborhood, says another person, and it seems to be worse at night. I use OnStar when I get lost, and that has helped me many times. So losing GPS to find your way home. All right. That's odd, says another person. It's worse for me, too, at night. And someone else says, I don't drive at night anymore at all. I get so turned around when it's dark, even on my own block. I got lost this past summer on an evening walk with my dogs and had no idea how to get home. I used my phone to set my address, and the map instructions got me home. I, too, feel like I have dementia as things do worsen in the evening, but I still keep going. Just make sure I'm home before dark, kind of like Cinderella. Go ahead and wrap it.
Another person says, I can't do anything without GPS. It's unreal. Another one, it's the same with me. First thing in the day is when I do some stimulating activities for my brain, some simple puzzles, word find. I have some computer games which are known to help with memory. But by 3 o'clock, my brain goes on sleep mode, and I do not even try to use it because things would just get scrambled and I would get frustrated. And the last one, oh my goodness, your post gives me so much relief. I do almost the exact same routine as you do, and I felt like I was failing somehow. Thank you so much for sharing. You will never know what a difference your information makes to me.
Okay, just to close this off, there are a lot of people with these brain problems. Dysfunctionality, there's dementia involved here. It's spike in the hippocampus when you can't remember the last 10 years of your life. Autobiographical memory gone. These people are using GPS to get home? For goodness sakes, this is a crisis, and it's not being talked about. Okay, with that, let's bring back our friend and colleague, Nurse Anne, who is one of the finest professional nurses in her profession anywhere, and she's been with us many times and reports and gives us insights into what's going on in the hospitals. Hello, Nurse Anne.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, we're good.
Hi, Deb, America. I'm sorry. The alarms are constantly going off now, so my dog doesn't like ambulance alarms or police alarms, so he barks.
Oh, boy.
So you're hearing sirens all the time now.
All the time now, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right.
He's just letting us aware of the fact that there's another ambulance.
Oh, boy.
Got it. Okay. So what we were reading is a little tiny sliver of a glimpse into, an entire major factor in our subculture of people who are losing their minds, literally losing functionality of their minds. What are your thoughts on that, and what have you been seeing in the hospital?
Well, the way they're presenting in the hospital, and it's been kind of like an element of confusion. So to that story about the person losing their way around, in December, when we had a lot of cases where they were confused or they were forgetting the things that they, in their home, or they'd... They wouldn't forget their family members. Now, that would be, that would have been an extreme case. I haven't seen anything like that yet. Mm-hmm. But we'd see other things, too, that they'd have to work them up for strokes, because they would present with stuff like abnormal muscle movements, or they're having problems getting their balance, their coordination would be off, uh-huh. or their speech would be off. Like they would be unable to perfect certain words. So they were getting, automatically they're thinking, okay, they need to be worked up for potential stroke or potential clot. Either whether it's a blood clot or an amyloid clot. And I'm actually seeing in some of the reports now that are coming back, they're actually, in December, they actually had one that said that there was one case where it was actually suspicious of an amyloid clot. And that was
interesting.
The first time mm-hmm. We've been seeing it in actual written medical reports.
Understand. I want to make a point here. What we're reading about seem to be accounts from people who have not been hit with a clot. These seem to be prion-related CJD kinds of degradations of their conscious mental processes. I didn't see clot anywhere in there. That's not to say that there aren't. You know there are. We all know there are. But these people are symptomatic of a whole wave of destruction of the human brain, which is often chalked up to be a case of CJD, which, by the way, is 100% fatal, in case you all don't know it. So tell us about that aspect of it, too. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Again, that's a great observation, because that's how they'll present. They have to work the patients up in the emergency room then as to see if they indeed have a potential clot, or if it's a stroke, or if it's something else.
Uh-huh.
And they can rule out a clot very quickly by the way when they draw the patient's blood work. They can do the D-dimer. That'll tell you how very quickly, or the PT, the coagulation test, will eliminate a lot of the questions about the blood clots or an amyloid clot, because they'll do the imaging as well. They'll do imaging like... initially they'll do the chest x-rays, but then they'll also do like the MRI, or even they'll probably even do a PET scan. So they'll do doctor studies. So they'll eliminate the clot thing very quickly. Within the first 24 hours, we'll know.
So they're screening for blood clots and amyloid clots now by way of the PET and the mRNA. So they're scanning and looking for these clots, which won't show up on a D-dimer. That's an amyloid clot.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting.
Exactly.
All right.
And also in correlation with the amyloid clot, they will do an echocardiogram, and the echo usually is very reflective of how well the heart is pumping. And in one of the cases, the one case I'm talking about specifically now, she's a 42-year-old female, and she had an ejection fraction of between 20 to 25%. And that's how they correlated that she potentially has suspicious of an amyloid clot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They put those two tests with all the other workup.
How about, Anne, cognitive complaints, brain fog, forgetfulness, I can't remember who my husband is, I don't know how many children I have, what stuff like that? That sounds extreme, but after what we just read, it's not. At least these people are not necessarily going to the hospital because they're still ambulatory and they're still functional, but major parts of their entire mental interaction with life are beginning to degrade, and some of them have gone missing. When you have to use GPS to find your way home, something has gone missing.
Yeah. I would agree, and they do. They come in with confusion. So that's how it's documented.
Right.
The confusion is confirmed by a family member, because usually at that stage, if they're in the emergency room, the patient themselves can't really verbalize the level of confusion. But what the family will say is, "This is not typical of my loved one. This is not how they would respond or react," and there is that is a case where they will not know their own family member. The problem we're having trying to differentiate between what is actually going on and if this is prion disease, and very likely could be, is that the testing that they have to do for it is trying to eliminate that. Most physicians, neuro physicians, will tell you there's no definitive way to disprove that it's something else as a versus prion disease.
Right.
A
question, Anne. Now we've talked a little bit about this too. There apparently is a new, we call it Schwab. It's a swab. A Schwab where they can test in honor of Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum. We just kind of honor him with that. They're doing Schwabs now on the inside of the nasal cavity, and apparently in the sinuses, they can Schwab enough to determine if there are prions at least visible in that setting. Now, are you testing in the hospital, or are they doing anything specifically to test for prion infestation in the brain? Are they doing spinal taps looking for prions in the cerebral spinal fluid? What kinds
they
of things
doing,
are they doing?
They are doing spinal taps. They're doing that because what they're seeing is they're trying to eliminate meningitis some form of an encephalitis kind of thing.
Sure.
So they are doing the spinal taps for that reason. But I will tell you that a physician did tell me that on some, and he hasn't seen very many, but on some MRI testing, they sometimes that the MRI can pick up on what looks like the shape of like a hockey stick sort of thing, and what he had said that he hadn't seen many cases in his years of practice, but that an older physician has indicated that would be something that you would see in prion mm-hmm. disease, but he did not say in this particular case that it was prion disease.
I have a sense.
Something that they will see on an MRI. It's like in the
gotcha.
It's white and it's in the shape of a hockey stick.
Okay, I have an idea, and this may be way off, but I don't think it is. I don't think they're looking for prion disease at this point very much. I don't think they're looking for CJD very much. Now, when the brain begins to be attacked by spike-caused prion proteins, it can attack any part of the brain. So you can manifest all manner of different kinds of complaints, symptoms. You can't remember this, you can't do that, you begin to have tremors. These are neurological damages. So
exactly.
I just wonder if this whole prion realm is front and center at this point in time. I don't think it is, not from what I'm seeing on the outside. What are your thoughts?
No, absolutely not. They really are not actually looking at patients for that disease at all. The reason that the conversation came up was that the nurses, like myself and another nurse, brought this up as a topic of conversation with a physician one night back in December, and that's how he said that they talked about it, but he has had no known cases that he's ever actually seen to date as of yet. So, but they're not looking. Because they're presenting neurologically. They're presenting with the thing in medical terminology. They'll present like with the problems with like inabilities to perform like a purposeful movements or do a purposeful activity. They can't do it, and they determine that as an apraxia. They won't be able to speak very well, and they'll have impaired balance or jerky kind of movements with their bodies. If they can't actually move the part of the limbs that they need to move. So they're
Erica?
Working them up as stroke patients.
Got it.
Or potentially clot patients as well.
Are you seeing many reports of people being evaluated for prion CJD kinds of things? And we've heard horror stories of some people literally being diagnosed and they're dead a week later, the diagnosis being CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the same essentially as mad cow, CWD, mad deer disease. Are you seeing many reports of people being screened actively for these kinds of things? Because I don't think they're beginning, and what Ann just said, they're just not looking for that yet.
Well, right, because in the past, CJD has been very rare.
8 to 10 years?
So that wouldn't be the first thing you think about. You would
look
for the most obvious causes for these symptoms, and you know, which would be some kind of encephalitis. Any kind of inflammation in the brain, for whatever reason, can cause these symptoms, and then you just have to, you know, work them up from there and go with the most obvious or the most common causes, but I don't know that there is. Is there a standard clinical picture? I mean, can you reliably predict now when you see somebody with these symptoms what the problem is?
I don't think
even
if they're presenting with them, they can't see them. They're not working them up that way. They're not really even talking about it, Erica or Jeff. It's not even a discussion.
Interesting.
The only reason it comes up with it at all, it comes up because the nurses will talk about it. They'll bring it up to the physician. They'll talk. And, like, a lot of the time, we'll just get the brush off.
Great.
Yeah.
What we just read is really important. These people all know lots of other people who are suffering similar symptoms, brain fog, forgetfulness, whatever, getting lost. This, I think, is an unknown minor epidemic in this wave of bioweapon and bioweapon virus disaster. I think it's not getting attention yet. That's what I'm gathering.
I don't think it is because there's a couple of problems as well. I think there's a lot of reasons why it's not getting the attention that it needs to get. Because most people will say that you can't really totally confirmed that it was prion disease until the time of an autopsy. Usually, that's what physicians will say. So, but I will tell you that the patients that are dying in the hospital, most of them are not getting any autopsies anymore. That piece that used to be once be a big part of the picture, the clinical picture, is now getting to be one less step to do.
If these people that we read, especially the accounts Erica read, are still able to function, still able to go to work, still able to keep home, they're ambulatory, they're not likely to go to an ER with symptoms like that, forgetfulness, whatever. They're just going to chalk it up to some other issue. If you've got heart pain, liver problems, kidney failure, blood clots, you're going to go to the ER. But these set of symptoms don't seem to be warranting people to rush off to the ER and complain that they can't remember the last 10 years of their life. They'll just kind of forget it and hope it comes back. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean,
they're still functional.
We wouldn't see them. No.
Right.
Because they're functioning, but
well said.
To the capacity that they potentially should be is a different ballgame. But, yes, the problem is most likely we won't see them until it's just way, way too late. And after that point, unless the families are not requesting autopsies, we're probably not going to really find out that real truth of why these people are dying.
So fair to say that this is largely going undiagnosed, even via autopsy. It's just not happening. It's hard to diagnose when the patient's alive. And if they don't look afterward, you just don't look, don't tell all over again. Erica, go ahead.
Well, I do see people getting testing for CJD if there's a strong suspicion of it after they've ruled out everything else. Mm-hmm. And probably if they have very good insurance, then they will get tested for it. And of course, it is the only confirmation is truly at autopsy. But the testing that they have now is fairly reliable. It generally requires a lumbar puncture, a spinal tap, and then they test the cerebral spinal fluid for the prion. And there's a couple other biomarkers that are elevated in people that have the disease that, you know, lend a strong suspicion to the diagnosis. And then the MRI, of course. But there, some of the CJD support groups online are growing. I mean, it's, you know, what used to be kind of a very quiet niche type of group is, I mean, there's new members coming in every day. Now, these are not people with CJD. These are families of people with CJD looking for support because no one knows how to navigate this. It's so rare.
Exactly.
And it's utterly terrifying.
Well,
the only country I know of that might actually has been doing some aggressive treatments or testing, more not treatment, but testing, would have been the UK because they had an outbreak. When I was a child, there was an outbreak.
We remember that. That was big news.
So,
I would suggest one other thing. These people would not want, in many cases, would not want to be tested for CJD because who the hell wants to be told you've got CJD? There's some real negative association there. So they're not going to go looking. As long as they can get to work, get to the store, get along with these strange mental problems, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to stay out of that system, I think.
Well,
I wouldn't want to go looking for it.
The thing with CJD, though, is the decline, once the symptoms become obvious, the decline is very rapid.
Sometimes
family members
weeks.
Report that you know, it goes very fast. They start to lose the ability to, you know, speak, swallow,
walk.
You know, they start hallucinating.
Walk. And it used to be 8 to 10 years before those things would show up. That was the way it was. And now, whole different ballgame out there. I still think this is going to play a very large role here in the months ahead. I think the your comment about the group growing, new people almost every day on the COVID group, CJD, COVID cause, CJD. Yeah.
Well, those people, you know, that these people are about 3 to 4 years in battling these symptoms, these brain cognitive impairments. And that is probably the residual effect of the damage that is done to the brain, the extreme inflammation that happens with the infection, and it, mm-hmm. it damages it. And you can actually see structural changes on an MRI, even in people who have had mild cases, which is you know, rather frightening. There is damage to the brain. And so it's almost like recovering from a traumatic brain injury. Now, whether those people go on to develop CJD, I don't know, but that's more their constellation of symptoms is more like Alzheimer's that tends to run a more prolonged course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I know you guys were talking about testing. The only thing I know of is the lumbar puncture that they'll do. So we've not officially, in the hospital I worked in, I've ever been had an actual case that was diagnosed with a prion disease based on the testing that hadn't been done. That would have been the MRI. They'll do the EEG for abnormal brain activity, and they'll do the lumbar puncture and then multiple slew of other tests.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, I think the reason we're not seeing in the hospital is because it's been truly discovered too late at home. And to your point about these people are still out in the community and they're functioning to some degree.
Right.
Now, also, they say there's very little treatment that most people can get for such a disease. But
exactly.
In the event that somebody was, if they were to find it, there are some, and I'm not an oncology nurse, but there are some chemotherapeutic drugs that they would use to try and kill off those the prion proteins.
Right.
But again,
yeah.
I can't speak to that because I'm not oncology. So, but that would be the only thing that I know of that's out there for this particular disease. But I think we're not seeing them because they're not presenting to the hospital.
I think you're right. Here's another little upbeat note. We're getting more reports of people, speaking of oncology, who have cancer, who are apparently defeating it with fenbendazole. Some are taking both fenbendazole and ivermectin together. You can do that, apparently. And this is very interesting to read. I just got another report. It says, another one healed from cancer in Canada. So there it is. So that's good news.
Yeah. This is that. Well, that's hopeful. That's very, very hopeful.
Yeah.
In those cases, I don't. It's also key to finding out the disease early. So early assessment is huge. But I don't know how quickly they're being seen to, because there's so many diverse symptoms. Initially, it's hard to narrow it all down, but it's good to have these groups out because the groups actually are keeping each other well informed.
You've been doing this
for
decades, and overall, how different is your business, your profession now, than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Well, as I said once before, I went into nursing to help and heal patients. And I don't think I can heal people anymore. I'm just keep maintaining them, is how I'd put it, till something else takes them over, because there's very little I can do by the time I see most of my patients.
That's got to be awfully frustrating.
Has affected their heart or their lungs or their brain to the point where bringing them back, they'll have no quality of life.
Quality of life. There you go. That's what it's all about. All right. Well, we'll keep watching this. Thank you so much for the input on this. It's very helpful. It's not being looked at. It's not being screened for regularly, routinely. I think it will be in time, something that will be maybe this new nasal test that I mentioned briefly.
Well, the nasal test is not new, and it hasn't been standardized, to my knowledge. That was just they showed a proof of concept that it can be done.
Ah.
That the scrapings or the brushings seem to render a better sample than the lumbar puncture, the spinal fluid. Which
and
is,
I have to say, I haven't seen it, Erica, so I couldn't speak to it because I've not seen it. Now, I wonder where that study came out of, because I would be very curious to see if that came out of the UK.
They directly dealt
with that. Yeah.
It was about 2009, I think it was published, so it's not new. And I think if they were going to use it, you know, with any regularity, CJD was so rare that they, you know, until now, probably wouldn't have bothered to standardize a test like that. You know, they were satisfied with the sample of cerebral spinal fluid, and they worked with that. But that may change.
And
The thing about
the lumbar puncture and the spinal tap is that it's rather invasive, and also it can then set you up for something even worse because potential for infection with poor technique and stuff like that. So, the swabs would be a wonderful thing. I just don't know anything about. I haven't seen them in my practice as of yet.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, I haven't heard about it being used either, so.
I think things are going to change in the next, you know, 6 months or so. I think you're going to see a lot more testing for this. Maybe people who are reporting these mental issues will begin to seek more help, but they're not going to run to the ER usually. Getting lost on a walk around the block is not going to take most people to the ER.
Right. Well, don't forget market for prion, you know, diagnostics and treatments for prion disease is a growth market.
Oh, yes. Yep.
For the next, what, 5 years?
One. Right.
So that tells you something. They know what they've done.
Of course they do.
Yes. I would. I know. And the thing about it is your show and shows like, there isn't many shows like yours, actually, but your show will actually help a lot of the people to communicate and get it out to the communities. And maybe it might be the extra push that people need within the groups to get the testing done before the disease process takes them over. But unfortunately, it needs to get out to the community more and more. So it's good those groups are there to help each other.
Yes,
we're not seeing that at the hospital right now.
Anne, thank you for your time, for your most intelligent input. We appreciate it, as always. We'll talk to you soon. Take good care of yourself, and we will be in touch.
All right. Thank you both.
Yeah.
And again, have a great night, and nice talking
thank
to you,
you
all.
Okay.
Thank
thanks, Anne. Good night.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're actually watching this develop. I think it's a developing story, as they used to say. I think it's going to become big time. It's a very unpleasant thing for people to even want to be diagnosed for, because it's 100% fatal.
Nothing even close to a cure or even something that would delay the onset. It's because when the symptoms show up with CJD, the disease is so advanced that there's no stopping it. The brain
exactly
is full of
right.
holes at that point.
And the issue of the hippocampus and the spike disabling the autobiographical memory, the little nodules of memory in there, so to speak, they're wiped out and they're not being replaced with new little hard drives to keep that memory alive. And
yeah,
they go.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle.
It's gone. Your past is no longer there. I can't even imagine dealing with that. an awful thing. But hearing those stories...
No, these people are really suffering. And I had a reader, I think I posted it, maybe we'll get to it next time, but maybe I didn't. Some of these people are so debilitated that, you know, they've had no choice but to, they can't work, so they've applied for disability, and they're getting denied.
Oh, see, the heartlessness of this system is really knows
yeah,
no
the
bounds.
Medical establishment no. will not recognize this, much the same as Lyme disease, you know, that they were very slow to recognize that.
Oh, yeah.
If you were not better after 2 weeks of antibiotics, then it had to be something other than Lyme. Well, you know, the same thing's happening with this group of people. You know, it's almost a carbon copy of what happened with Lyme, although I don't know if it's better or worse. But it's the same type of treatment. You know, you're being stigmatized, marginalized, ostracized, and you kind of swept to the side.
I think a lot of them are being misdiagnosed as well. A diagnosis for this, as all of you have heard, is not easy. It's not really accessible. And
well, you can put a label on it, but how are
yeah.
you going to treat it? And so
there's
far,
no treatment.
The conventional treatment is just to deal with the symptoms with drugs.
Right. All right, here's this paper from the NIH. A test for Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease using nasal brushings. Got about 10 authors. Interesting. All right, we're going to watch this.
I think it was 2009, right?
You sent it to me. Yeah, it was August 7, 2014.
Oh, 2014, okay. So not too long, 10 years ago.
It's
so it
back.
Is possible. It is possible.
But it's not being talked about. Interesting.
No, because it hasn't been, you know, to get a test approved like that, you know, a legitimate diagnostic test
right.
is, you know, there's a procedure to go through.
Exactly.
And there
well,
hasn't
we'll
been
see.
That demand, but that may change.
Well, reading what we read tonight, and all these people, again, knew apparently more than a few others who were having the same kind of symptomology. Present. Not good. Not good at all.
Well, at the very least, there's brain damage that, you know, needs to be dealt with. And what that means for their future, you know, just like these NFL football players that sustain
sure.
repeated head injuries, they are at much higher risk for developing ALS.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I just think of the concussions that they get.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
boxing is the same way. I still don't know how boxers can survive that kind of a beating to the
head.
Oh,
I know it.
But they do. It's crazy. All right. We're out of time. We thank all of you for being here, and we're trying to stay on the front edge of as many things as we can for you, and we will continue back with you on Wednesday. Thank you, young lady. Wonderful job.
All right. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone. Okay.
We'll be right back with Hour 3 for you right after this.